friends. Welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls. For this week, our fun drinks are, I have water.
We're not doing that anymore.
And then, I know, I was just going to make a joke that you're drinking another Perrier.
Oh, sorry. I thought we scrapped.
Ruined my setup.
Sorry.
And then I was going to say, we're not doing fun drinks anymore because we're tired of it.
And I think you are too. Let's just call it what it is. That bit was more stressful than it was worth.
Yeah, if you saw me every week going, we're out of fun drinks.
And I was like, if you ask me that one more time when you come in the studio, I'm going to kill you.
So we're back to, I'm having water and Drew's having a cold one.
I'm having the water of Jesus Christ himself. He made this water and you can't convince
me
otherwise.
With his bare hands.
He wrung it with his bare hands. This was the water used to clean Jesus's feet.
And then they bottled it up.
They bottled it up and been selling it for years. My way. And they gave it to my ancestors and they passed it down to me.
You know how like when you're really thirsty and you want to drink water?
Mm-hmm.
Something about drinking those when you're really thirsty really quenches your thirst. You know what
honestly,
I mean?
Honestly, it kind of stresses me out a little bit because it's like too much carbonation.
It's kind of spicy.
Yeah. It's spicy.
So, yeah. No more fun drinks, friends. Maybe when we feel like it, but it's unsustainable.
Yeah,
for my mental health.
The way that was the most stressful part about filming.
It was. It's not the editing. It's not anything.
No.
It's literally.
It's acquiring a new fun drink for y'all, okay? I'm only human.
Well, and then a fun drink, I want to drink it. If I try it and I don't like it, it's a not so fun drink, you know?
Yeah. And one thing about me, I'm going to have me a silly little drink.
Yeah.
You can count on that, sir. So.
Dude, last night I had an ice cold Diet Dr. Pepper while I was building my Lego set.
Talking about the water of the gods. Let me tell you something.
Jesus made Perrier and then he made Diet Dr. Pepper.
Then he
turned
right around and he made Diet Dr. Pepper.
There you go.
Diet Dr. Pepper just really hits the spot.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like, I mean, I love Diet Coke, but it's not the same.
It's just not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. I've grown to love one more than the other.
Yeah. Wait, another update I want to share with you. We are going on tour this week.
Yes, we are. We're going on tour and you can still purchase a ticket if you so please. It's going to be very fun, very exciting, and we cannot wait to see you all and have a good time. It's going to be a blast.
I know. There's so many of you that have been tagging us that you're coming and doing the VIP meet and greet and stuff like that. It's very exciting.
Very, very exciting.
But we're going this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you live in California or and somewhere in the Pacific Northwest and you feel like flying to San Francisco, come see us.
If you're feeling crazy, come and see us.
And you can get tickets at twoidiotgirls.com.
Period.
And so we're doing, as you can tell from the title, we're doing.
Wait.
Sorry.
Before we get into the episode.
Is there an elephant in the room besides us?
No, there's just something I'd like to share with the audience.
Okay.
I finally watched Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It was just okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't nearly as much of a train wreck as I thought it was going to be, given the scandal mm-hmm. that was surrounding it.
I almost wonder if they conjured that up because the movie promised way too much and it wasn't going to deliver.
And that would be funny.
And they were like, you know what? People are going to see this and they're going to think it's stupid, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't I create a scandal out of this? So yeah. That more people will be more inclined to go see it.
I feel that.
Wait, a good movie we saw, The Menu.
That movie rocks.
Wild. That so good.
That movie's really great. Also, I'm Missing a Nail. If you talk about it.
You're homophobic.
You're anti-woman. I'm getting a new set tomorrow. I don't want to talk about it. Anyways, The Menu, wonderful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I was looking up like explanations of it.
Yeah, no spoilers, but I did too.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand the allegories because there was quite a few running through
yeah.
that movie. But that one, 10 out of 10. Yeah. Don't Worry, Darling, I'd give a strong 5.
I give it a 4.
Yeah. I would say the way it's shot is what keeps it up a point.
And same with the costuming and the set design.
It looks
wild.
Beautiful.
So good. Yeah.
So I'd give it, it saves.
Miss Flo is the only reason it's getting okay score.
Yeah, she's the only good thing about that movie, TBH. But I will say, I felt like I knew already what the deal was. I never could have foresaw
how it ended.
No, not even how it ended, just like what ended up being the thing, mm-hmm. like being how she was there. And for those of you who
spoiling it for the masses?
For those of you who haven't seen it, it's been out for long enough. But for those of you who haven't seen it, just fast forward this part, okay? But the part like, okay, so I knew she was like in a simulation of some kind.
Yes.
And I figured after the first like 20 minutes that it was only the women, because I know it's an allegory on misogyny as well.
Sure.
And patriarchy, albeit white feminism. But the fact that like in the real world, he was like listening to like 4chan and shit. Like he was like going down a road. That's the part that blew me. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
I thought like maybe they were just in a simulation, or maybe like, because she was like, it's okay, you lost your job. Like those little flashbacks. I was like, oh, maybe they're both being tricked. Like they were tricked into coming here together.
Yeah. I thought it had like potential. Like I saw J-Soups talk about it,
mm-hmm.
but I just thought there was just way too many plot holes. How is she a surgeon in real life?
Yeah.
And no one looked for her.
I thought that too.
How did he catch her? Like, I wanted to see like,
yeah, the there were like flashes of him dragging her, but then it's like, did they break up? Did he just knock her over the head? Like, did she, there were just so many unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Which is therefore plot holes.
Yeah.
Like, cause you're, I just there's so many loose ends.
If you're going to have that many famous people in one movie, I shouldn't have any questions when I'm done watching it.
I feel that.
Like the menu, stacked cast. You, Anya Taylor-Joy, right? Ray Fiennes.
Yeah, I did have some questions, but they were more so like,
what happens next? Not, hey, they were more why like, did you do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I would say,
did you finish Glass Onion?
Yes, that movie rocks. And let me tell you, I've been in, like, I was a huge fan of Knives Out. Yeah. I told everyone to go see that movie, which is funny because when Billy and I saw that movie in the theaters, we like genuinely like had no idea. We just went and we were like, let's watch this one. And I told them, I saw Chris Evans is in it. And I think I saw a couple other people I recognize.
007's in there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of famous people in that movie, but it was so good. And I told everyone to go watch it. So everyone went and saw it too. So Glass Onion was awesome.
Mm.
I called a couple of things in Glass Onion. Like some of them I was like,
the main character, he reminds me of like every man that tries to talk to you. Do you know what I mean? And not like a, not in a romantic way, but like on the internet. I don't want to spoil Glass Onion. Y'all should watch it.
Glass Onion. Yeah. The main guy is every guy that is not necessary. No, they're antagonistic towards me, but not in a way that's like, you just fat and ugly. They're the guys who are like, has anyone ever thought about the fact that maybe she's mean? He's one of those. It's like pseudo smart. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's just saying big words.
Yeah.
When he, this is a spoiler, but when he said, you made up so many words.
Yeah. He's like, that's not a real word. And then he was like, anyways. Yeah. That's why he was like, he's stupid. Like, it can't be him. He's stupid. That part. Yeah. But that movie was.
But don't worry, darling. I had a lot of potential, but it fell super short, which is super disappointing. And I also, that's why I also noticed J.C. was saying too, why did she only put the sex scene? You know why she put the sex scenes in the trailer. And it was
and so, there was only like 2.5.
And it was to get the girlies to come watch Harry go down on Florence Pugh on the table.
You know what's funny? Because Billy watched and he goes, that man had like 5 lines the whole movie, which is true.
I didn't know why people were being so mean about him after I watched it.
Well, he sucked and it's okay if we say it.
I didn't think he was that bad. I thought it was okay.
He was not very good. I would say he was mediocre in that movie. Like, I don't think he's a bad actor.
Do you think that?
I think that was a bad acting job. Like, I don't think he did a very good job in that role, but it could have just been the way it was written. I don't know. I think they chopped the line significantly.
I'm doing this for us, Alice.
And I heard too that like they tried to make him talk in an American accent the whole time. But it was so bad. They were like, just, you can be British.
They're IRL. He's American, but then in the movie, it seems like he has a fake British accent.
So like, that's what Billy said. Billy said, is he actually British or is he just pretending? I'm like, no, he's from the UK. Like, I don't know if like
he's from Holmes Chapel.
It's almost like he just couldn't help but like pretend. I don't know. Like, it's like he was doing an impression of his own accent in the movie, which is strange, which is weird because Gemma Chan is British and she sounded fine. So, and then when she killed him, I was like, I thought you were You know what I mean? Like girls, but also not. You know what I mean? Like hilarious.
It's so funny you brought up movies because our first one is we're doing a part two of questions you have asked us.
Oh, yes.
So Anna said that that them and their partner, they've been catching up on movies that came out in 2022.
Me.
Some were great. They did an acronym, but I don't know what it is. It's RRR. Do you know what movie that is?
No.
Everyone's going to be like, it's Red Dead Redemption or whatever. And some terrible.
I wish.
Like Babylon. So I wanted to know, what were the best and worst movies that you saw in 2022?
Great question.
So worst, would you say? I guess Don't Worry, Darling. Maybe I've watched worse movies. I can't think of any.
I feel like I've seen worse movies.
I'm just going to say that one because it's the first one top of mind for me.
And 2020.
And then best movie, I watched it again recently, is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, we were going to watch that one again today, too. I would say best, I would say Glass Onion. Technically, I watched that in 2022. Yeah. I would say best Glass Onion for sure. What else did we see in the movies? We saw Wakanda Forever. That was good.
We saw Thor, Love and Thunder.
I'm going to say that one. That one was probably the worst.
We also, honestly. Multiverse of Madness came out last year, too, which is pretty wild.
I thought Thor, Love and Thunder was worse, honestly. I was very disappointed. Which is a bummer because I really like Taika Waititi and I loved Ragnarok. Yeah. So it's a bummer. Yeah, that's a good one. Love and Thunder, I think, is the worst. Well, we did see Avatar.
And that's all we'll say. Okay. Okay. Oh, Chrissy, she wants to know, what is your opinion on spinach and artichoke dip? Fire.
I would say artichoke is better
than you know, when you have spinach and artichoke dip, it's
I thought both. It was spinach dip and artichoke dip were separate.
That's the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Then yes, very good. I really like that dip.
I love a good dip. Love a good dip.
Yeah, Dayson loves a good dip. Add that to the list of bean freak things.
Okay. Summer wants to know, are you guys superstitious? For example, it's bad luck to split poles. I don't know what that means. Or it's good luck to find a penny when it's heads up.
Yeah, I am very superstitious. I think
a little stitious.
I would say I'm quite stitious, honestly. I think part of me thinks that's an indigenous thing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that I truly believe off nothing more than just I was told once. For like it to what? Be a belief, like a, well, like the mirror at the end of your bed thing.
Yeah.
Never to do Ouija boards in a place that you love. Just like, what else? If something bad happens to me in like an article of clothing, I'll never wear it again.
Me too. Same with like songs.
Yeah.
Like if something bad happens when I'm listening to it or something, you know what I mean?
It's more so clothing for me because I feel like the texture of the clothing touching my body is very...
Give him an example. Give him...
I can't.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
When I was a kid, when I would play soccer, if I had a bad game with my hair a certain way, I would never wear my hair like that again.
Yes, dude. Oh, my gosh. I used to throw... We threw in high school, and one time I got invited to this, like, super, like...
It was like a CIF.
Important meet to go throw discus. And I wore my hair in a pony and then braided it. And then I threw the worst I've ever thrown. And I never did that hairstyle ever again.
That was me. Like, if my mom would, like, do French braids in my hair and I would go play, I'd play like shit. And then I was convinced. Mm-hmm. Like, I was convinced that it was because of my hair. So I would always wear my hair in a bun and it would always fall out while I played. And my mom would tell me constantly, do you want me to do your hair for you? And I'd be like, nope. Because I was just so convinced.
Yeah.
I would tape my shin guards in a very specific way.
Yeah, you're like your favorite socks that you're like, like 18 pairs of socks, but I'm going to wear these ones and wash them every time. Yeah.
And I taped my shin guards the exact same way every single game. So yeah.
If you wore pre-wrap in your hair, it had to look a certain
way. I always wore pre-wrap, had to. If I have bad thoughts, I'll knock on wood.
Yeah. Do that one a lot.
So much so that... Not, I would say so much. It's just like, it's something I do so like involuntarily now that like whenever Billy sees me knocking on wood, he's like, what happened? What did you think about? Because he just notices that I do because he knows that about me. Yeah, I'm pretty superstitious.
Very. Some might say.
Yeah, very.
Audrey wants to know, what is your favorite thing in the whole world?
Well, that's hard.
My family.
Like earthly possessions or people?
It says could be anything. That's what the question says.
Yeah, I would say my loved ones, my family, my boyfriend, my puppy.
Not me. He's on my least favorite thing. Just kidding. Me and Squid are becoming friends again.
He's such a good boy.
I know.
Dude, oh my God. I just thought of something. So me and Billy were watching all these really great movies and then we decided to watch terrible ones. And I showed him Lemonade Mouth for the first time mm-hmm. today.
An American classic.
And the song they're singing when they're like, they're basically like, you'll always have me as a friend.
Okay. I don't remember.
After she's like, my dad's in prison.
The only song I remember is Determinate.
Yeah.
And She's So Gone, obviously.
Obviously, because that's Grammy Award winning or should have been at the very least. No.
Arguably the best Disney Channel song.
It's literally one where she's saying, it's like, we'll always be more than a band, which is just like hilarious. They're singing this song like of friendship to each other.
Her and the redheaded kid?
All of them.
You seen that kid having a comeback on TikTok, the redheaded guy?
No, but I have seen. Have you seen Zeke from Wizards of Waverly Place? Has anyone seen him?
Zeke?
From Wizards of Waverly Place. It was Justin's best friend. They were the nerdy white guy.
No, I don't know who he is.
Bro, don't look him up because it's going to tell you what I'm going to spoil for
you. But I wonder what he looks like.
Okay, just put Zeke Wizards of Waverly Place.
Okay. Wait. I just saw this the other day. I know exactly
on TikTok?
Yeah. But I didn't know who it was.
I knew exactly who it was.
He does corn now, guys.
And he was like, he like
so cash about
he
it.
Like promotes.
We know. Okay, so that's T. So this guy, Zeke, I keep calling him Zeke. Zeke does corn, right? But the ginger kid from Lemonade Mouth, he went to prison for a really long time. And he got
for
out.
What?
I don't know. I probably like drug. I think dealing drugs or something like that. Okay. It wasn't like abuse or anything like that, from my understanding. But he's having a comeback on TikTok and just answering questions like, what was it like being on Disney Channel and stuff like that. And he's showing like how he's rehabilitated his life. It's pretty cool.
That's just kooky to think about because we're so old.
How did you remember Zeke when you saw him? You're like, he's from Wizards of Waverly Place.
No, when I looked at the caption, he put Wizards of Waverly Place. Disney Channel, and I go, oh, that's probably the best friend.
I would never remember that. That's
I
so
only
funny.
Remembered because I fucked with that show, and I think I just remembered like loosely that he had a friend. Anyways, that's
do
not
you
the
think
point
that Alex deserved the family powers?
I think yes, because she's the only one that wouldn't make it in the real world. Like, she was so lazy; she had no skills of any kind because she refused to learn. It's not because she wasn't smart; it's just because like. She was honestly a pick me, is what she was. I watched Princess Protection Program, and she's the biggest pick me in that movie. That's besides the point. When they're singing this song about friendship,
okay,
Billy was like, "Oh my God, look at Squid!" And he watched the whole thing, and it was just that song. Like I rewinded it too, and he like played, it and he was going watching the whole thing. I was about to record him, and then he moved because the song ended.
That's so funny. That's like my cats. They're like watching Aristocats. It's
Billy
so
goes, "Why the fuck was he watching that?" He wasn't watching the whole time, and as soon as that song came on, he was like, "And watched the whole song." It was crazy.
That's funny. Okay, this is from Nika. She wants to know, what do you recommend for a girly who's never had their nails done before? I would love to have talons like Drew, but I also don't feel like I can because I'm a nail virgin, is what she said.
You got to build up to my length, if I'm being honest, because a lot of people are like, how do you have nails that long? Which I typically hate that question. But if it's coming from a sincere place, I don't mind. It's just years of practice, girl. Like,
because the longer they get,
the weaker your nails
are. Yeah, meaning like you can break them really easily. So you have to be really soft with your hands. So mine are medium length. And even then I was like, maybe I'll do long. And then I broke one nail and I was like, that's enough.
Mine are, I'm not kidding. I've had these consistently. I've had acrylics, which is not a good thing because we're going to be like, that's how I have your nail beds. My nail beds are healthy. I promise you that. A big part of that is genetics, but I've had them nonstop since like 2014. That's like how long I've been wearing acrylics. 2015, actually. So like there were periods of time where I didn't have them for like a few months, But once I got them, I got hooked and I was like, I'm working this. I'm going to figure out how to pay for this no matter what. So
no, literally same.
So my suggestion is to start small. So get like a little almond nail. That's what I started with.
Make sure they do gel X because it's better on your nail beds than acrylic.
Yeah, don't let them tell you to do dip because that's horrible. That's honestly worse than acrylic powder. Mm-hmm. And I would know because I've done them all. Every single one you could possibly think of. I let them convince me to do dip a few years ago. And not only were my nail beds hella fucking weak, but they're so much more expensive because you have to consistently get new sets like every 10 days. And if you don't have enough money for that, it's a money pit.
Well, and just the way it sits on your nails, like it's so thick and yucky looking.
Yeah. Like, not that acrylic powder is any better. If you go to if you're not going to someone who's really good at doing nails, like mine were really bad for a while because people just weren't doing them very properly. But I would say to start with a little almond nail and then just build your way up. And then the longest nail that's the shape of Dazen's nails is a stiletto. That's the type of nails that Cardi B has, that Rihanna has, in the shape. I mean, mm-hmm. not the length, but the shape, mm-hmm. which is just pointy. Mine are square. So I've had coffin, almond. I've never had round.
Don't do that. And if you're going to get stiletto or get almond, don't do black. Does that make sense? Don't color them black. And if they're short, because then they'll look like dog nails.
That's true.
I always think about that.
That's if they're tiny almond ones. But and if they're
honestly,
long enough.
You honestly just get used to doing things. I don't know that's how why, else, I'm that's telling the you, only way to describe it. You just get used to it.
Yeah, the way I describe it, because people ask me a lot about how I lift. Again, years of fucking practice. Yes, I've broken nails at the gym many fucking times. I've done that. It's just, it is what it is. I made my peace with it far before this platform. I made my peace with it. But also you realize that you don't pick things up with your nails. You pick them up with the pads of your fingers.
Yeah.
It's no different when you have nails.
The only thing I could say is probably hard is when you put your card in at the gas station.
That's the worst.
That's the only time it's hard.
A tap and go is the best thing ever happened.
The Apple Pay. But that's the only time it's hard.
And picking up coins off a flat surface.
I just scratch it around and then hope it flicks into my hand.
I can change my belly button ring. I can put earrings in. I can put necklaces on. I can do all of that shit by myself with no one home.
You really set your mind to it.
Yeah, because I taught myself how to do it. And that was when I was convinced I was going to die alone. So I was like, I got to learn how to do this by myself. So
I even wipe my own ass with these.
Can you believe it? Start small. Start small. And if you love them, I'm sure you will, if you really want to get them, then you'll start to grow them eventually. Because you'll see I love these. So when people ask me, how do I lift with these? I lift them. That's why when dudes are like, that's so easy, I can fucking do that. Okay, do it with acrylics on. Do it with acrylics, same grip, no belt. Do it that way and then fucking come and talk to me, bitch. That's how I lift. So, but anyways, start small. Work your way up.
So just do research on salons near you that can do gel X, just because they last longer. And then if they happen to rip off, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like on acrylic, I've seen Drew's acrylics bleed. I've broken one. They don't bleed.
You know I've what I mean? Had acrylics. Yeah. From when I would go to the salon. Mm-hmm. I've had three in a row rip off at once. And it was really bad. It was a bloody mess. Looked like I cut my fingers off. I was like,
oh, what? What's the driving place?
K1.
Yeah.
Pole position. That was when my mom almost killed me.
Kill her.
Kill John Lennon.
This next one's from Margaret. She wants to know, do you have any funny experiences when you've partaken in the devil's lettuce?
Yeah. All kinds. I've done it a little bit today.
Wait, I also want to say, and this may be controversial, it's not funny when you guys say, Drew, are you high?
Yeah.
It's honestly kind of rude, guys. And we're better than that. Come on.
I literally tweeted this the other day. I was like, I have an astigmatism in both eyes, which means my eyes are constantly straining, even when I have contacts in. Can you fucking believe it? That's how bad my vision is. So my eyes are always red, especially at night, especially after I've been working all day. Especially when I've been looking at my phone. So when people are like, oh my God, she's so high. I bet you anytime you write that, I'm not.
Yeah.
And I literally tweeted
the only time she is when she says she is.
And guess what I'm doing? Not making TikToks. I can promise you that. That's not what I'm fucking doing when I'm under the influence.
Like, would you like if I commented on a picture you posted of yourself? You look so high right here. No. So please don't say that.
Yeah.
It's kind of rude.
But speaking of.
Yes.
Yes. The very first time that ever happened to me, I got the spins really bad. Or that happened to me. The first time I did that to myself. I got the spins so bad. I was convinced I was never going to get off the merry-go-round. I was like, oh my God, this is my life. Just, mm-hmm. And I just was crying so bad because like I thought it was never going to end. And my friend was going, it's okay. And she was rubbing my back. And then I told her, I know you're trying to help me, but please don't touch me. Because yeah. When she was touching me, it felt like all my skin was peeling off when she was touching me because I was like hallucinating at the same time. So that wasn't so funny, but it was traumatizing.
The first time I ever did that, I was actually, I think I was like 23. I went to school in Oregon and didn't do it the entire time because I was so scared.
Yeah, I went to school in Hawaii and didn't do it for a long time.
But I did it with my friend in San Diego after her rugby tournament. And I was like, this doesn't feel like anything. And Drew said, this is the first time I've ever been in public with you and you're not complaining, which means it was working.
That's true.
But the second time
she was enjoying herself in a crowded space. That's how you
in public.
It was working.
Yeah. And then the second time I did it, I got the spins really bad.
Yep.
And I thought I was going to die. And it was really bad. And I remember we were watching, because it was me, Drew, and someone else. Mm-hmm. And we were watching Sarah Baska. She did like a parody to It's Every Day Bro, but it was like a like a folky type song, like
how
indie,
full circle, because we just are friends with her now.
Yeah, and it was her and Ashley, and I remember watching it and I told Drew it felt like someone was squishing my head down with their thumb, and
yeah,
I was like, I have to go lay down. I didn't feel
that's good. Not exactly how she said it. She we were sitting in silence for like 30 minutes like watching the TV, and then she just stood up and was like, I'm going to bed. And then scared the fuck out of me. And I was like, what? And she's like, I'm going to bed. And I go, we bought food. And she was like, nah. She was like, I'm going to bed. And then she's like, ah. And she just went and laid down. And she stared at her ceiling with her eyes way too open.
It felt like every part of my body was extending and like morphing into something else. And it wouldn't stop. It was so scary.
Do you want to hear something hilarious?
What?
You're literally the first person I thought of when I heard this.
What? Heard what?
I saw a TikTok. of this girl.
Okay.
She was saying she went to the fucking doctor because she got high and she was afraid and like couldn't stop hallucinating.
Was it Grace?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, literally me. And then I saw her make another
but
TikTok.
Hers was different though.
No, but I saw people telling her like, you gotta try this straight. And I saw her say, maybe I'm just not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
So that I also like, I could see, but like, I can kind of like that, but I have
also
a better
not.
Grip of it. Yeah, I know.
It's just different. But I don't think there's anything else really that funny.
No.
One time during the pandemic, I ate it in a candy and I was like, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And then
I don't like to do that because then I feel like it never stops.
You're telling me. And then I felt like it wasn't working. I was like, this is like, I feel nothing. And then all of a sudden I realized that Billy and I were sitting on the bed together and we were watching the TV, but the TV wasn't on. And then I said, did you turn the TV off? And then he goes, I didn't, what? And I go, how
like,
long?
Gets mad at you.
Yeah. And I go, how long have we been sitting here with the TV off? He goes, I don't know. And we had been sitting there for, I'm not even kidding you, 45 minutes. I think I was watching a movie in my head. And then I was like, well, I should eat to like ground myself. Mm-hmm. And that was when my brookie phase, the brookie Oreos, when I first discovered them. So then I ate an entire pack by myself. Like the whole thing, all four sleeves, ate them.
Those are so sweet.
I
have four and then my stomach hurts.
You're telling me. And I ate the whole fucking.
I ate 40 of them.
It's like I ate one and I looked down and they were all gone.
What the?
And then I go, oh my God. And I go, I should go to sleep. Like, this is too much for me. I need to go to sleep. Then I laid down to close my eyes and then I woke up and I had to throw up. So I threw up all the brookies I ate. And then I was like, I'm never doing those again. That was horrible. Yeah.
No, recently I did a little bit of it And then I did too much. And then I felt like if you've been to Disney World and the Animal Kingdom, if you went on the Avatar ride, where yeah. you become an avatar and you ride those little pony things.
Yeah.
Then you know how the pony like breathes between your legs.
Yeah.
I felt like my body was made out of that. And it was so bad. I hate when I'm like that. And then I'm trying to like ground myself and I can't. I keep thinking I'm doing it, but I'm like, this isn't my life that I'm imagining. I'm living in a different world.
You know what's so funny is like, sometimes when I feel like that, I'm like, if I just told myself I'm okay, I'll probably be okay.
And then you never do?
No, when I feel myself freaking out, if I start to freak out, I tell myself that and then I'm literally okay.
I literally close my eyes.
I just gaslight myself to believing I'm okay.
I literally have to go to sleep. I can't do it. It's too much. One time I did some and my septum ring fell out and I couldn't get it back in, but I was able to.
Nice. Panic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Patrick said, Drew mentioned this on her podcast, but what is the story of Dayson getting hit by a car when she was on her bike?
We told the story on the podcast.
I think we did.
I think so. On this podcast. Yeah. Yeah. Long story short, she got in a lover's quarrel and took off walking her bike, got on for half a second, rode it, and they got hit by a fucking car, dude.
So ever.
Not much else to it.
Nope. On my like 12-year-old... Beach cruiser. Yeah.
And I was got hit.
And I was riding my bike on the sidewalk because I don't know how to ride my bike in the bike lane. And it was on a one way and I got hit by a car
pulling out of a drive of a like parking lot.
Yeah. And I remember the building that was there. I was thinking about this the other day. It was a bong shop.
He hit her and she flew on and fell on top of his windshield and like
smashed it and then I fell on my back.
She smashed it and then fell, like rolled onto herself.
Yeah. And then I didn't throw the bike away because I was like, I still need my bike. And then one time again,
and she rolled over and got off the car and picked up her bike and tried walking away.
Nothing more humiliating, y'all. I'm telling you. Where you go, sorry about that. And you just get up and keep going. And then like 6 months later, I tried to ride the same bike in an alley while I was holding my weenies con huevos in my left hand and I fell off my bike.
That'll do it.
And then a homeless person asked me if I was okay.
That'll do it. That'll make anybody stop riding bikes.
That's the story. And then I was like, I can't use this anymore. Throw it away. It literally bent the wheel back. So like when I was biking forward, like I couldn't twist the wheel because then if my right foot was forward, the back of it would get caught in the
tire.
She
did get a check for... to fix the bike, and what'd you use it for?
I don't know, probably food, rent, or some shit. It's only $200. I didn't even pay the medical bill with that.
He's like, he's like, you owe me for hitting me in this piece of junk.
Yeah, the insurance agent was like, well, technically, he can't pay for that because you're going against traffic. I'm all, okay, but he hit me.
It's crazy how much this country does not care about you.
You know, I'm all, what if I died and I didn't have a helmet on?
And so we're like, that's kind of on you.
Yeah. I was in the midst of work training. So the next day I told my boss, if I have to step out and take a call, it's because I got hit by a car yesterday. He was like, okay. What the heck? Are you okay? And I go, not really. My ego is more hurt than anything. Hunter wants to know, how can you be friends with an ex if it's even possible? I feel like I always start to remember the things I liked / loved about them.
You can't. And I'm a firm believer in that.
I feel like
maybe with like time and if it was amicable, but if it wasn't amicable, there's no fucking way.
Yeah. I see a lot of like, it's like lesbian culture to be friends with your ex. And I think it's because women were brought up to be friends with women. Like,
yeah.
So like I can see it for that, but I don't think you can.
Me personally,
I don't think that I personally can. I'm not saying that everyone's like that. Same. Yeah.
I know some people will be like, not me. I can be friends. That's cool. But like for me, like, I just feel like, especially if it didn't end on good terms, you've just seen too much. You know what I'm saying? You've seen too much. You've seen how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I don't want to be your fucking friend. That's Same. How I feel. I think a lot of times, sometimes we hold on to old relationships, specifically potentially being friends with that person because it's so hard to let go.
Yeah.
And you're like, if I can't have you in a romantic way, maybe I can have you in a platonic way. But if you're really being honest with yourself, I feel like if you are making peace with it that way, that's not really what you want. That's you compromising your own boundaries because you just love that person so much. You don't want to let them go.
Like on the L Word, there was an episode where this couple broke up and then they kissed and then the one that broke up with her was like, I don't want to be with you. I just want to be friends. Like, I'm sorry, like things got like that. And then she said, I can't because I'm still in love with you. So I think if you maintain your boundaries, if you're like, mm-hmm. maybe we can work towards being friends, but right now I'm not there. And then if you never end up getting there, there's nothing wrong with that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like it's
I'm all no.
Same. That's a, I'm a cold turkey bitch. Like, yeah. I just never want to talk to you again, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, good luck to you, I guess.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, this one's from Ratna. They sent like a million.
Mm-hmm.
But two of the questions in here. Well, one is, what is your big three?
We've said like that many times, yeah. But we'll do it quickly.
For the newbies.
I'm a Virgo sun, Cancer moon, Sagittarius rising.
And then I'm a Sagittarius sun, Capricorn moon, and Cancer rising.
Mm-hmm.
Another question that she put in here is, who would you want to play Deason and Drew if Hollywood made a biopic of us? Or biopic, sorry.
Easy, Mary-Kate and Ashley.
But Mary-Kate and Ashley right now.
Right. No, I want Passport to Paris, Mary-Kate and Ashley.
I want Lindsay Lohan.
Go back in time. I want Amanda Bynes and She's the Man to play
Both of us.
No, that's racist because she's white.
Oh, okay.
If we're being honest...
You say what J-Lo said, she's like, she hasn't been born yet.
What did she say? Because I'm from Queens. Whatever. Yeah, what's the
I'm
thing?
From New York. Your company called this? If you can make one meal for the rest of your life,
Bronx,
what would it be? And then she goes, chicken cutlets and rice. And everyone's like, I can't stand. Watch J-Lo's...
73 questions.
Yeah, is it with Vogue?
Mm-hmm.
Someone was saying, I know that everyone you watch, you could tell they pick the questions, like whoever they're Kim Kardashian, whoever they're interviewing.
Yeah.
They're saying, I just hate how much you want when you watch this one, you can tell she picked the fucking questions. I hate that. Because I'm from New York.
If I'm being honest, dude, like there's no someone women
that could play it.
That I know of that can play. There's so The Rock. That's who I'd want to play me. I want the guy who plays Young Rock to play me.
And then I want Dwayne The Rock Johnson to be me.
I want Young Rock to play Young Me, and I want Current Rock to play Current Me. There's no one that's someone that I can think of.
And I would
of.
Never write off. On a biopic if it wasn't someone girls playing.
And that's on fucking period. Make it... Honestly, make it me. Let me do it, but then do me like you did Ben Platt and Dear Evan Hansen. Like I'll be 39 and I'll play a 15-year-old me.
Yeah.
And you could just CGI my face onto that
on
body.
Some like Henry Cavill shit where they CGI'd his beard out. There you go. Yeah. As Superman. And then one of their last questions was, what are your icks about each other? Let's just do like two.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first?
Awfully eager.
I just have one that just already
popped
in my head.
Go ahead.
I don't like, because we were just doing this before we started filming. I don't like when you're stressed about something and I offer you like six solutions and then you don't like any of them.
I figured if we're stress venting,
yeah,
like maybe we don't need solutions. Maybe I just want to tell you and then you go, well, that could be this. And I'll be like, okay.
That is what I do. But you go, no.
That's not true, because some of it I'm like, that's true, but then some of it I'm like, well, what about this? I'm like offering you a counter.
I know, and it's annoying.
But that's how my brain works.
That's not an ick, that just irritates me.
That's an ick then.
My ick is like you pretend to look in your blind spot when you're driving.
I say that one time, all of a sudden it's every time.
You said it as if you were in a safe space to say that, like, everyone.
Well, clearly I wasn't. Clearly I, you know what? That was a bad read on my part, apparently. I have one. One of my icks about Dace is that sometimes she, like, you can literally watch her not listen to you. Like, like you're talking to her, like, you're looking her in the eyes and you can watch the light leave them. Like, you're literally like, yeah. And then, you know, like this happened and this happened. And then as you're talking, she's going. And then I go, are you listening to me? She goes, mm-hmm. And then I go, what did I just say? And then you go, you said that, this, this, and this. And I go, just because you can recite it to me doesn't mean that you're understanding why I'm telling you that. And then she's like, what do you want from me? I just told you I was listening to
my
you.
My ick is that when I don't laugh at one of your jokes, you ask me if something's wrong with me.
My ick is that you see one person one time and then you're like, I can't believe that person didn't follow me and or text me. And I'm like, that person doesn't even fucking know you.
Okay.
And then she goes, what are we going to do for the holidays? Like, how would that person come here? How would I go there?
I'll have you
like,
know that in the YouTube comments, there's a lot of solidarity with me the last time you said that. So. Because we're all unwell.
Call it a Nick then.
I don't like that when you have to use.
Cut that part out. You absolutely cut that out immediately.
Okay. Sorry.
I don't like that when you tell me that you like some or you like someone or you show me someone that's interested in you. And then I go, that person's cute. You should message them. And then you do. And then you tell me things like.
We have to cut that out. We have to cut that out. Go fuck yourself. I can't leave that in.
What a fucking stupid thing to say.
We have to cut that out. You know that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you fucking say to me, man.
I can't think of any. Whenever I watch people do them of their siblings, like that one you sent me of all the sisters, and they were like, I don't like that. You don't brush your...
Just because they're nasty. Yeah. I'm like, we're not nasty.
No,
like
I can't think of any that are like...
Like that? No.
No, I know. But yeah. I'm just saying like they each had like 800 about each other.
Yeah, I don't have that many.
No, I can't think of any. More.
Yeah, me either.
Well, my heck is like, you're so mean to yourself and you're so awesome. Okay, this next one's from Anna. She wants to know, will you ever come to Canada to do a live show? We want to.
I would love to.
Eventually.
Yeah.
One absolutely. Of our favorite people in the world from Canada. And her name's Alex.
And his name is Steven.
Woo!
Alex and Steven. Two of our faves.
Two of our faves. Okay, this next one's from Bella. She said, what's your favorite inside joke you guys have together? And please tell us where it's from.
We have so many.
I know.
Like, too many. I'm trying to think... of one that like would make other people laugh. Because here's the thing about most of our inside jokes, they're fucking dumb. Like they have
funny to us.
There's no basis. There's no real reason to laugh at it. Yeah. It's just so stupid. It's funny. What are you thinking?
Most of our inside jokes are all movie quotes. That's why that episode was so true. Funny. But I'm trying to think of like other like actual like things that have happened. We're like, I could be like, oh, that's from this one time she, you know?
Yeah. That wasn't at someone's expense.
I was thinking of when you, but you didn't, so beat it. That one's funny. Do you think that one's funny?
Yeah.
It's not our best work.
It's really not.
Like, it's funny, but yeah. It's not our best work. Doesn't even deserve to share the story because it's not that good.
It's just, what's shameful to me is that so many of them are quotes from the fourth Harry Potter movie, and that's just unfortunate.
Or, like, School of Rock or Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, but even then, like, some of our strongest ones are from that fucking movie.
Like what?
Like, Junior. We laughed about that. Dude. How many times have we said that?
Yeah.
That and like, I bet that cleared your sinuses.
Yeah. Isn't he's a cheat? That's from that one too.
He's a cheat, yeah. Feet off the table, that's from that one. Just the Jerry Bulls, that's from that one. Like, you know what I'm saying? So many of them are from the fourth Harry Potter. It's so fucking irritating. And not even the book, the fucking movie.
Yeah. I know a lot of the jokes I'm thinking of are like, which I can't share.
Like Stay our, Good, Chili Bad was a good one.
Yeah, we shared that one.
But that one just involved another person, which I don't like.
Stay Good, Chili Bad, we don't even say anymore, though.
There's so many that we would love to share with you. Unfortunately.
They involve way too much context.
They just involve way too much context that would implicate people that may or may not want to be exposed on the internet. And not in a bad way, but just like platformed.
Yeah.
So most of them... You're going to have to take them from the fourth Harry Potter. Junior's a big one.
We laughed about that one for a really long time.
Yeah.
Because I thought you were making it up the first time you did it. Because it's like the dumbest line. No one remembers that.
Yeah. Barty Crouch. And then there's like 10 seconds of silence. And he's like, Junior. That sounded just like him right there.
There you go.
Just the Jerry Bulls. I said that for a while.
Pumpkin pasties.
Two pumpkin pasties, please. She's like, anything from the trolley.
Only one.
Oh, that's where that one's in. That one's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Are you guys sorry, mad? Y'all. Are you guys mad at me?
You guys know that inside jokes, 9 times out of 10, are making fun of other people. Everybody knows that. And because I'm a good person, I'm not going to tell you some of the really fire ones we have cooking.
Yeah. Rhea, they sent in a bunch of questions, but one of them on here, random question from someone who loves astrology. What placement in your entire chart do you feel most comfortable? Do you feel like you resonate the most with and why?
Like any of the planets or like the big three?
It says just any placement in your whole chart. So we're more familiar with our big three.
I would say my Virgo. That makes the most sense. Everything about me is such a Virgo,
mm-hmm.
including how mean I am, how I never forget anything, being organized, being stressed all the time, being worried, a know-it-all, overachiever.
All true.
Yeah, all very true.
I would say mine is my Cancer rising.
I was going to say
your Cancer too. I resonate more with that, yeah.
Same.
Like one time we had dinner with Taffy and she goes, aren't you a Cancer? And well, no, I'm a Cancer rising. And she goes, and they say astrology isn't real.
I fucking love Taffy. She's so funny.
I know.
If you ever get so lucky as to meet Taffy in real life, like she is everything she is online and then some.
Yeah. Like so funny. So sweet.
So fucking funny. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Well, do you want to end on a really sweet one?
Yeah.
Okay, this one's from Kayla. She wants to know, what is your number one hope for each other this year?
That's really sweet. My number one hope for Dayson is that she finds love.
I know. I want to be my lover girl era.
My number one hope for her is that she finds the person that she's going to be with. I've already told her this. I'm convinced the next person she's with is going to be the person she's with forever. So I want that to happen for her this year because I know that's what she really wants. And I think it's time, honestly.
Okay, mine for you. I already started tearing up when I was thinking about it. Is that I hope you're able to take enough time to enjoy everything this year. I feel
that's
I hope
really
that
sweet.
We're able to. I'm trying not to cry. I just hope you're able to do that.
Thanks, buddy. Why are you crying?
Because I'm a Cancer rising.
And they say astrology isn't real.
They say astrology isn't real.
That's really sweet.
I just love you so much. So
I love you too.
I'm also PMSing. I think my period starts tomorrow.
Mine just ended
right before Taurus. Oh, Psycho man. Sisters. Cycle sisters.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
No, I know. I'm just repeating it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, sorry. We're going to end on one more because I cried on the last one and I didn't finish my answer because I can't. I'll literally keep crying.
That's not a bad thing.
This one's from Logan and he said, I have an individual question for each of you. So we'll do Drew's first. So he said, Drew, how has your journey with body neutrality helped you within your self-image as an individual in the public eye?
I would say it's just strengthened it, to be honest. It's helped a lot because since I'm a public person now and because of the nature of what it is I do, my body is being perceived more than I could have ever imagined it would be, times a billion. So it's strengthened it. It's emboldened it. It's empowered me to work on it even more because it's just proof. I think what it is the perception and the criticism of my body by the people that are criticizing it just honestly reinforces my point that you're like nothing more than like an object to men who think like the way that they do and the ones that I fuck up all the time. They only ever see you as a thing. They don't see you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So they always feel so entitled to comment on what you look like. If you think about like, if you see a big fat dog, like everyone's always like, that dog is so fat. That's literally how they see women. Mm-hmm. Like they see that they're like, those are things and I'm allowed to comment on it because I'm a man and that's just what I do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just, I think just like strengthened it and also made it very evident to me that it truly doesn't fucking matter what you look like. If you say the things that I say, if you believe the things that I believe, they're going to call you fucking fat no matter what. Like,
yeah.
doesn't matter at all. It's so pointless to care what they think either way, mm-hmm. because they're going to think it no matter what. So
yeah,
I'd rather feel nothing towards myself at all.
Yeah. It's like so like relieving.
Yeah.
To think like to perceive your body like that.
Yeah. And when I say that too, a lot of times, sometimes when I say that, people are like, why would you never want to love yourself? Like, I didn't say I didn't love myself. I said the perception of my body doesn't weigh on the perception of myself. Mm-hmm. My body is not who I am. Mm-hmm. It's what I live inside, if that makes sense. So I feel nothing towards that. Like, good or bad, it's nothing but indifferent because it doesn't fucking matter, right? It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Like I've said so many times, like you could be the skinniest, prettiest, most successful bitch in the world. If you say the things I do, someone's going to call you fat. Someone's going to call you ugly. It's just like, it's just what happens. Mm-hmm. So if I feel nothing about the physical shell that I live inside, then it won't hurt me when people comment on the physical shell because it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't hold any weight.
Yeah.
With me.
Determining your worth on how people perceive you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Not determining your worth. Right.
Yeah. So it's been good. It's been, I think, if anything, it's just like proved to me
what you've always believed.
Yeah. Mm. It just reinforces the beliefs I've always had towards men and how they perceive women. And also it strengthens the power in myself because I've never really cared about my body when I was younger. And that's what I'm trying to search for again and hold on to now as an adult. Yeah.
And then their question for me was, how has your identity as a queer person helped shape how you see and present yourself as a person? Mm-hmm. It was weird. I was thinking about, you know, people like heal their inner child. I feel like this past year, I was like healing my inner queer person who I was like for a really long time, I think embarrassed to be.
Yeah.
So I got my septum pierced, which was something I always wanted. And my internalized homophobia would not allow me to. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of queer movies this year that I always wanted to see, but my internalized homophobia didn't let me.
Go and watch shows of queer artists.
Yeah, go to concerts and make more queer friends and I went to so many queer events. I had never been to Pride until this last year.
Yeah.
And I went to like 3 Pride events. So like it was like Pride was like all year, like all of June and then July. Mm-hmm. But I think it just made me more proud to be who I am. And same with like tattoos. I was like, I can't get that because then I'll look gay, which is so like fucked up. Mm-hmm. But very much a reality of most people. I don't know. I think my queerness just makes me feel like the most version of me that's existed. I think that's why I ended the year feeling like so much like me.
Yeah, absolutely.
To where like I couldn't even focus on my body or anything like that. Like I was just like, I don't even care. You know.
I think it gives you a power. It gives you more power in your sense of self. Mm-hmm. And when you know who you are, it's easier to love you. You know what I'm saying? It's easier to love yourself because you know exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. When you are unsure, it's when you doubt and question your worth and whether or not you're worth loving. Mm-hmm. Like just you by yourself, let alone anybody else. So like when you fully embrace it.
Who you are. Yeah.
Yeah. And accept it and love it and wear it proudly. I think it shows on the outside too. It's like it's a very rooted confidence. Like it comes from within. Mm-hmm. Right.
I know. Like I'm on a Kehlani kick right now, like listening to her music.
I love her.
And I'm like, God, how do I always forget how good she, like
I told just, you.
No, I know. I've never been like, she sucks. But I was when I was listening to her, I'm like, how do I ever forget how good she is?
She's so good.
And I'll say my favorite, I went to a lot of queer shows this year. My favorites were obviously Muna. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Muna was so great.
Super cool. It was like, it was a really white queer space.
Yeah.
But everyone was so nice. It didn't feel white. It just felt super gay, which was like so fun.
So fun. And they are so good live.
Yeah. And then we went to Kehlani's show. I haven't been in a room with that many brown and black queer people ever.
Which was really fucking nice.
It was so cool.
It was
so fun.
I was telling Dayson, like, those are like the only concerts or events I've ever been to where I felt safe. Because there was no men there.
Yeah.
Like there was hardly any men there at all.
There was probably more men at Kehlani than there was at Muna.
And even then, like, not by much. Yeah. Like, there was just so few men there. The ones that were there were awesome and sweet and kind and gay, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of them were gay. But, like, the very, like, the fucking 5 total straight men that were in those areas, very nice.
Yeah.
Billy was one of them. Kehlani.
He's always one of them. Yeah.
But Kehlani's show was so fucking good.
The whole time.
Yeah. She is so good live and she can dance her ass mm-hmm. off. Like, you better work pussy bitch.
I didn't even expect her to have like a live band and like all of the dancers. It was just such a good show. That both spaces were so inclusive and cool. Like, it was really fun.
And so fucking fun.
Yeah.
And they're both so great live. Like, Kehlani is a fucking performer, yeah. bitch.
And
like,
so was Muna. Muna was really yeah. good.
And that's why I'm like, Kehlani's a fucking star. When mm-hmm. we watched that, I was like, God damn, she's so good. And she was awesome. So both 10 out of 10. If they go on tour again, please go see them live. They're incredible.
Okay, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Two Idiot Girls. We hope you enjoyed it and you have a great week. If you're coming on tour, we can't wait to see you. And we're so excited. And if you would like to go to the tour, as we said earlier, you should go to twoidiotgirls.com to get your tickets.
Yes.
But other than that, if you wanted to listen to other audio versions of our podcast, they're available everywhere you can stream podcasts. And the YouTube version is always on our YouTube channel. I said that weird. Sorry.
The last one.
But we love you and we'll see you next week. Bye.